Okay, you can say hello to Leslie, please.
Hello, Leslie.
Hello.
Well, good morning.
Oh, wait. Is that Texas coming through my headphones here?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's hard to believe we're living in this kind of a world, huh?
That is so surreal. But hi. Good
morning. Good morning. We met a long time ago. I mean, I always do this when I do phone interviews, but we met back in 2004, I think, when you were, well, let's see. That was, yeah,
I remember.
That was Let It Die.
No, I do remember that. We played live in the studio. We did.
Okay, well, this was up in Seattle. When I worked, I used to work at the Mountain in Seattle, and you came in and played there, and then
I told you I remember.
Yeah, and then just a few years ago, you came through. I had moved back home to Portland, and I was working at Kink, and you came in and played for us there,
like a breakfast thing.
Yeah, we have had an in like it's like a little small little venue kind of a thing.
Yes.
Anyway.
I do remember.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's like you were at every one of those breakfast things I ever did.
Yeah, I know.
Like in Portland.
Yeah.
And
yeah. New album from Feist. And oddly enough, on the phone, I have Leslie Feist. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
So odd.
Greetings. Yes. Greetings from Texas. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I've been working towards that, getting whenever I play a song, getting the artist to call in so that we can talk on the radio about their song.
Their ears are burning. Yeah, and they just phone you.
Exactly. So how are you?
I'm swell. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. The new album, I listened to the entire album last night at home, and because it is released today, I got an advanced copy, so I was able to listen to it last night, and it's different than I expected. I mean, I'm sure you're going to get this a lot from people that are fans of yours. It's not, and that's not in any way a bad thing. It was just that I was expecting one thing, and the album left me in this a completely different space, which I'm still kind of trying to process. But it's a good
great
thing. It's challenging. It is really challenging for me. And now that, and like I say, I'm saying this as that it's a good thing. It was a pleasant surprise. It's a very stark album. It's a very raw, emotional album, in my perspective. So I'd like to get your thoughts on this album and how it came about and what your feelings are about it compared to your other work.
Wow. Well,
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, dismantled you. Excellent.
Exactly. Yeah. Your master plan, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm glad to have surprised you. That's good. I mean, I'm glad to not repeat myself. I mean, that would render me, it would become an irrelevant process for me if I thought I was just reiterating old ideas or old sonic ideas even. So yeah, thanks. I guess that's, I would want that opinion to, you know, I would like that to feel that way to whoever hears it.
Yeah, when it was done, I was trying to think of where my headspace was, and for some reason this popped into my mind. I don't know if you've ever read or seen a stage production or the Robert Altman film version of Sam Shepard's Fool for Love.
Whoa.
It kind of left me in that same headspace. I was trying to search around to see where I was at, and that one popped in as to a similar just kind of visceral feeling that I had when it was over. So,
well, I like that you're checking and sort of litmus testing yourself for what state of mind you're left in, state of heart.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but I'll write it down because I love a good theater reference.
Yeah. Well, it's an incredible stage play. There's only four characters in it, and the movie version is Sam Shepard plays the lead in it, actually. And then Kim Basinger, Randy Quaid, and Harry Dean Stanton. Those are the only
characters
in it.
I know what I'm doing tonight. Celebrate the release.
Yeah, search that out and see if you agree with me. So, you mentioned after one of your tours that tour left you emotionally deaf, which I thought was a great concept. So, how do you get back in the saddle when you're done with a 18 month or 24 month cycle of doing an album and then going out and promoting it, and I can imagine that you would feel pretty drained when it's all done and you need to take a break. So how do you get back in the saddle? I mean, is it just a process that you have to work out, or how does that work for you?
I guess there is a fine line where the repetition can be powerful. If you're repeating the songs, you're sort of reiterating those thoughts or ideas, and maybe in a way the playing of the songs takes you further from the experience that you wrote about in the song, which is, I suppose, positive when you're writing about bad times.
Right.
You know, so the repetition kind of, it works out the kinks. It's like strengthens a new resolve or a different perspective or something. But then it tips over. I guess it can tip over when that repetition becomes kind of by rote, or a muscle memory starts to happen where the repetition has become a thing of its own, you know, and it's no longer a relationship with what the thought was or what the feeling was. And that's just, I think, I don't know, it's that having a fresh new approach every night is a casualty of that, the thing called touring, you know. It's just a necessary grinding down of all your fine motor sort of, you know, nuanced feelings.
Well, and it's a whole different perspective from, you know, I think, as I imagine, not being a songwriter myself, but in that process of writing songs, you feed a certain part of your being, and then maybe something that you hadn't planned on going out on tour, and the demands that takes is a totally different thing than anything that's part of the creative process. Or am I off base?
Exactly. No. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's just a different, I mean, you do one thing with your left hand, you do something else with your right hand. I mean, it's all kind of part of the whole, but, and they can help each other. They can inform each other. I know for certain that I've written songs based on knowing, you know, how different, like, reaches in my own, you know, high in my voice, low in my voice, those sorts of things on tour, they start to mean something different. So then they inform the writing of the next, you know, the next time around. And so that, you know, and also playing guitar a lot on tour will inform, you know, how the guitar is used. Excuse me.
No, that's fine.
Or the voice, for that matter. I played last night, so a little raw here.
Now,
so it all plays into, it's all like kind of the snake eats its own tail in that way.
Right. Last time I saw you, it was just solo, just you and guitar. And are you doing that on this tour, or how is this next, the tour? Because I was looking at your tour schedule, and it's interesting. It's kind of unique. But as far as the stage setup, is it just you, or do you have a full band?
I have me and three guys. And yeah, it's pretty stark. It's pretty close to the album in the sense that there's not a lot of, you know, bells and whistles, thick arrangements. It's you know, four of us doing some kind of heavy lifting because we have to cover a lot of territory. But there's some solo moments. I mean, that's always going to be part of what I enjoy doing, but for sure, there's these really powerful guys with me.
Good. Hey, so I was looking at your tour itinerary, at least for this leg of the tour. Three nights in L.A., three nights at the Fillmore in San Francisco, three nights in Mexico City, three nights in New York. So are you doing that? You're trying to, I'm just trying to figure out what the thinking is. Is it just so you don't have to travel so much, or if it's just how you want to present the tour on different nights?
I really like playing more intimate venues. You know, I think something different happens. Like, there's a potency when there's fewer people. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I start to get like stretched beyond my ability to conceive all of those consciousnesses when there's, what's the plural for consciousness? Like, when there's that many people in a room, like a Radio City or, you know, something like that. It's overwhelming, and it feels exciting, but then something else is lost. And I've learned over the years that I just find much more exciting than the kind of hoo-ha of playing a famous, beautiful, giant venue is that kind of rarefied air that happens in a smaller venue. And it's just such a great experience for me. And maybe just not feeling in a rush to cover all the territory I used to and go to less cities and sort of have a deeper experience in those fewer cities, you know?
Well, and you also get to stay for a couple of days. I mean, I imagine, I talk to people that come through Dallas all the time, and it's like, well, have you gotten out to do, no, we get on the bus after the show and we're off to Tulsa or what, you know, I mean, it just, it's, you know, life on the road.
Blur. No, it can be quite a blur and have that waking up, not quite knowing where you are. So that was factoring into it too, just not wanting to be on that kind of like ticker tape of of towns.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't even imagine what that's like. So
Done it for a while now, so I felt like there's at this you can reinvent the wheel when you've been doing it for more than half your life. You know, there's a way to look at it from a different perspective.
Do you ever get used to it, or you just learn how to deal with it?
Maybe it's because you do it and then you stop and there's like, you know, those cycle, like you said, do something for 18 months or 2 years or 2.5 years and then you stop. So there's kind of always a refresh and you come, like last night I played my first show in I think a few years. I mean, I'd done a few songs here and there for different events or whatever, but I hadn't played a show for a few years. So, you know, last night I got to feel 16 again. So there is that starting from scratch all over every time you sort of start from scratch again. It's great.
So where did you write this album? Or was it a bunch of different places?
Mostly in Toronto.
Mostly in Toronto?
Yeah.
And where did
I have a little space in Toronto, like a little coach house.
Oh, okay. That,
in Toronto, it's like these little brick buildings that are behind houses that would have been where the horses were a century ago.
Right.
And it's kind of in Toronto where everything is, you've always got some person through a wall. You know, there's always, the houses are all crammed up next to each other and there's, you know, there's never a feeling of that sonic solitude. So it's a real gift to have a spot like that in this town. So
very nice. And where did you record?
In upstate California, did they call it that?
Upstate. Oh, was that by Big Sur? Your last album you recorded
and
in
Northern
Big Sur.
New York.
Northern New York, yeah.
and in Paris as well, where I've worked a lot at my longtime collaborator Renaud Letang. I made Let It Die, The Reminder. We mixed metals. I've done a lot of everything I've ever done at this one studio in Paris. So it's kind of a homecoming to go back there as well.
Nice. Well, congratulations on the release of your latest album, and good luck on this tour. I hope at some point you can maybe come through Dallas. But I understand what you're trying to do on this tour, so maybe the second half of it you can blitz through some cities and.
Right, exactly.
Get down.
Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And
pun intended.
Yes, very much so. and good luck on the project. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this works out.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Thank you, Feist.
Bye-bye.